My name is Michael Bailey, and you're listening to the EDP Formula One podcast. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Eastern Daily Press Formula One podcast. As that people said, I'm Michael Bailey, joined with my astute and enthusiastic panel of Formula One enthusiasts from Norfolk. To look back at the recent Formula One activity, a quick apology. We are probably a week later than we normally would be after a Grand Prix. Blame the football. Anything that goes wrong on this podcast tends to be the football's fault. I apologise for that. But we're back here with a sort of a quick amalgamation of our usual two parts. We'll have a quick look back at Spain and then a look ahead to the race I love, Monaco. Cannot wait. One of the highlights of the Formula One season for me. But let me introduce who is sitting next to me and before they disappear off. Dave Tilley is here. Hello, Dave.
Evening.
Evening indeed. How's your hand?
It hurts a bit.
No,
I'm a bit broken.
You've broken your hand, haven't you?
Yeah.
Was it a racing incident?
I wish. It's not that cool.
Maldonado's fault.
Yeah, was it? Was it pasta? Can you blame pasta?
Well, I think I might nickname my hand pasta now.
Love it.
Yeah.
That will do.
Hand Ronaldo or something.
That's the way to do it.
Yeah, no, it's just a small home-based accident. Nothing exciting or interesting, I'm afraid.
Shame. Never mind. Well,
yeah.
We hope it heals quickly. Carl Cumbers, you're all in one piece, which is the good news.
I am, yes, yep.
And you're well too?
I'm very well, thank you. Yep.
Good job. Good to see you. And Richard Baxter's here.
Hello.
I only just about got that out, Richard.
Yeah, it's quite long.
It's a long, yeah. Well, it's, you know, at least two syllables, isn't it, for his surname? So, right then, let's crack on because we obviously waited a bit. Spain, if anyone can still remember it, Lewis Hamilton winning again, cruising, it has to be said. Enjoyed the race, though. Did we enjoy the race, Carl? Did you enjoy the race?
I did. Because we sort of sat the whole race just waiting for the last five laps for it to kick off between Rosberg and Hamilton. It was quite interesting, the radio messages to Hamilton. You could tell he was under pressure. And the different strategy call by the sort of Rosberg side of the garage. And we're just waiting for the last five laps or, and it's just building up till then. So, but yeah, I really enjoyed it. And any race Hamilton wins is always enjoyable. I did enjoy it.
Too right. I suppose Mercedes had to split the strategies because Lewis went into the first corner ahead, which I think was some sort of agreement they had. Mm. And I can't remember who it was who said it now. It might have been Gary Anderson. I'm a big Gary Anderson fan now. No, he's not on the telly. I'm an even bigger fan. You shouldn't split your strategies because you're guaranteeing one of them will get it wrong, which is a good thought. The thing I liked, Dave, was that, or not liked, but it sort of registered with me, was that Nico said, well, you know, if I'd have had an extra lap, I would have won. But isn't the point that the strategy is the amount of laps that there are and Lewis got it right?
Yeah, you could always say, you know, if I'd done this, if this had happened, if I'd had a bit more time, you know, if I'd had a bit more heat, or I'd, you know, had slightly different setup or whatever, you could say a whole multitude of things and say I would have won the race. He's probably right. He was quicker, but he just hadn't done enough over the course of the predefined number of laps in order to do it, and Lewis just eked that out. Even though he had a slightly poorer setup and a slightly slower car overall compared to Nico, he did what Lewis does and, you know, just got the best out of it that he could.
He does that a lot.
If you look back to Bahrain, he had enough laps there to overtake and he could have done it there. So the history doesn't prove that you would have overtaken him.
Damn right.
And there was an interesting radio call during the race as well, and I think Hamilton's engineer said to him, pull out 4 seconds, and Rosberg's engineer said, make the gap 2 seconds. So they're both going for it, and Hamilton managed to get over 4 seconds. It was like 4.7 seconds at that point or something. And you think, well, he's got more than he needed to. He's done the job better than what he's asked to do. And I think that's, you know, really made an impact at the end, because they finished within a second of each other across the line. So if Rosberg maybe pulled it closer during the middle of the race, he could have had a better chance at the end of the race to overtake.
And if he could have been able to do it, I suppose he would have done it.
Yeah.
In a way. A bit I picked up on, Lewis, I mean, he usually argues, which is normally quite funny to listen to, but he was arguing with his pit crew and his engineer about how many turns on his front wing and what to do. And we hear, starting to hear a lot about the way that Lewis is analysing what he does, which I don't think is anything particularly new. I think we're just hearing more about it. But in general, are we seeing a more focused Lewis, or is and a more confident in that he's telling his engineers what to do, rather than he was so passive and deferential to McLaren when he was there?
Well, I think it's inevitable. He's becoming a more mature driver. You know, as drivers get older, sometimes they might not have the sort of raw speed that they had when they were, you know, very, very young, but they tend to develop themselves to be a more complete driver. And with Formula One the way it is now, you can't just get in a car and drive. You've got to be able to understand all of the different facets that enable you to get the fastest lap or the fastest, you know, the fastest amount of time between flags. And Lewis is getting better and better at doing that. You know, I think he's learnt from his teammates over the years, and now he's putting that into good effect.
Race 5, Lewis's fourth win. It's taken him that long to overtake Nico Rosberg in the driving standing, hasn't it? Thank goodness for that, because I think I'm starting to look a bit silly if Nico has still been ahead. Okay, this is going to be a rapid podcast because, you know, we've got a lot to get through, which means we're going to go rapidly through the EDP F1 pit stops. There is DT's impression of a pit stop, always worth a listen. Right, let's rattle through these, through the notes. I noted the Ayrton Senna tribute on the BBC coverage with Eddie Jordan. Thought that was lovely. Did anyone else see it?
I missed it.
Yeah, I saw that.
Did you like it, Richard? Yeah, it well, not these two, they haven't seen it.
It was very emotionally connecting to an individual, I thought.
Yeah.
And especially, of course, with the music in the background going, it's always, you know, kind of hits you quite hard.
It was very good. But clearly, if you haven't seen the film Senna, go watch the film Senna.
Why was it on so late on TV when they put it on?
I'm not sure.
It didn't start till 10:30.
It was, wasn't it? Yeah.
I thought, I've got work the next day. I can only watch like an hour and then...
Get it on DVD, Richard. It's only a couple of quid.
I've got it.
You got it on DVD?
Well, my dad's got it.
Yeah. Have we all got it?
Yeah.
I watched it at Cinema City when it first came
out. I did, yeah. It was amazing, wasn't
really
it?
Really good at Cinema City.
What a legend, hey. Alan McNeish was doing the technical stuff on the BBC coverage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you hadn't got rid of Gary Anderson, he'd have been doing it. That's all I'm saying. I don't know if Alan's being told what to say or whether he's now stepping forward to do it.
I think it's a big loss, BBC getting rid of Gary Anderson. We mentioned at the start of the season as well. It's just, especially with all the technical changes, it just made no sense whatsoever.
And then it's like they've given the role 5 races in to Alan McNeish because they're like, oh, we need someone to do this because we're losing out. Anyway, irrelevant issues. But Caterham changes, lots of Caterham changes before the race in Spain. Mark Smith... gone. Committee, development committee. Are these good moves for Caterham or bad moves? Because Mark Smith's supposed to be pretty good at his job.
It's hard to say. I don't know enough about the key individual people within Caterham to know, and to know whether or not what they've done is actually going to help them.
But John Eiley's supposed to be good,
things,
isn't he?
They just keep trying new things, and they still end up year after year. They just end up same place. Because they might move on, but then the whole game shifts on even further. So you wonder, kind of, not what's the point, because you know, I think it's still, you have to have teams that are going to fill each space. But from Tony Fernandez's point of view, he must be smarting quite a bit right now.
What, the man who said that if they don't sort themselves out this season, he'll sell up in the winter? Mm. That's a motivational speech for your team, isn't it? Sebastian Vettel, now clearly he's missing his double diffuser, which I presume he's got one that he sleeps with at night because, you know, he's missing it. We got to see the fact that his car had a leopard print seat inside it.
Really?
He's got leopard print on his seat in his Formula One car.
Deary me.
Good Lord.
What a tart.
Unbelievable. Fernando Alonso had a little bit of a dig at him too before the race, which I thought was interesting. That all said, he actually had a really good race, didn't he, in terms of recovery drives?
He did, yeah. He started 15th on the grid. But I thought he had a good drive. But the one thing I would say is that's where the car should be. Is, you know, where he got there in the end, and the car should be up there because it's Red Bull. They've won the season for the last 4 years, and you know you'd think they really should be pushing up there higher. And you know, okay, he had a 5-place grid penalty, but you know, the car still let him down in qualifying, and he was only 10th, wasn't he? So
And he struggled in the early laps of the race, didn't he?
Yeah.
And finished behind his teammate again.
Again, yeah. I was a bit disappointed about Red Bull because there's some noises coming out of Renault and Red Bull that we're going to get closer. This is more or less an aerodynamic track. And what, Ricciardo finished 49 seconds behind Mercedes.
Close. So. Well, we'll look forward to Monaco then, given the noises coming out of Renault leading up to this weekend. What else have I got here? Lotus weren't paying Renault. In fact, I think not many people were paying Renault, but Lotus is one of them. But we know Lotus have got major cash issues. And Red Bull were saying that it didn't really matter.
It's probably they spent all the money fixing Maldonado's car, to be honest.
Again, which time? Pastor did crash again, of course, in qualifying. I think it was in qualifying, wasn't it? And he had early issues with Ericsson in the race as well. And it was, that said, they did of course have a test after the race in Spain, and Pastor was claiming a big leap forward for Lotus. Ooh. So maybe hopes for this weekend.
But he might be losing his funding, so
yes,
he might be getting the sack anyway.
Yes, if maybe that's the big leap forward for Lotus. Yeah. That he's going to move on.
Well, Grosjean had quite a good race, didn't he?
He did indeed.
Well, finished 8th in the end. So I mean, Maldonado could be there. He just keeps crashing, which
isn't anything new either. It's interesting, Gerard Lopez, who's the owner Lotus, saying that they might struggle to keep hold of Roman if someone probably wants to pay him some wages. I presume that's how that works. We did touch on the Red Bulls, Ricciardo finally getting his podium, because he obviously had a one take at it that failed. Do like what Daniel's doing this season. Are we fans?
I find it annoying though when they say, oh, he's got his first podium. But it's not his first podium. His first podium was in Australia. Just because his points were stripped away from him, he still got there. He still did the job. I find it...
Illegally, though.
Yeah, possibly illegally, but I don't think it's the driver's fault, essentially. So I kind of... It's odd when they say, oh, yeah, it's his first ever podium. It's, like, it's not really. It kind of is, but it kind of isn't.
Still got the memories.
Yeah.
And they were good memories, I'm sure. The last note I've got in here, Tom Clarkson, hopeless. He said as a question mark. Not a fan.
No, I'm not. I'm not really sure about him, to be honest, because you hear him talk and you think sometimes you're talking sense, but then they go to you, go to him halfway through the race, and it's like, well, I just saw a pit stop here. He's got this tyre on. And it's like, well, you can see that on the TV. You're watching the pit stop.
That's right. I'm sure there are people slagging my work off as well. So I'm fairly fine with
it. I think Ted Kravitz was the king of pit lane. Kind of a
Teddy K.
But even Gary Anderson used to do it. All right, I don't want to come back to old Gazza, but you know, good old Gary. Okay, of the weekends as well. Now again, this weekend was a long time ago, so we'll just rattle through them. Driver of the weekend, Lewis. Does anyone care?
Yeah.
Nah.
Yeah. I did think of Lewis. I thought of Vettel as well, but I thought Grosjean, to be honest, just because of the car he was in, and I thought Hamilton's got the best car on the grid. He knows what he needs to do, and Grosjean has been struggling all season, but finally got some points and put in a really good performance, I thought.
So. Lovely. I'll give it to Roman then. That's fine. Goat of the weekend. Should we just give it to Pastor again?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. Lovely.
He can just have it for the rest of the season.
Rest of the season. Yeah. Will anyone take his crown?
Yeah.
Team of the weekend.
Mercedes.
Yeah.
Highlight of the weekend. All of the above that we've just discussed.
Yeah.
Last 5 laps. Radio messages to Mercedes. Drivers, no, yeah, that was good.
That was
I
good,
thought the
yeah.
qualifying was quite good, to be honest, the especially quality three, because Rosberg was quickest in 1 and 2, and Hamilton said, oh, I'm really struggling. And, he said at one point, what have you done to my car? It's awful, or something along those lines.
Good old Lewis.
And in the end, pole, and I thought, yeah, that's my highlight.
Great stuff. Right then, that is the line drawn under Spain. Cool, if only every podcast was that sharp. Just imagine the time we'd save. So Monaco, this weekend, Monte Carlo. I love this weekend. As I wrote in my column, I know it's probably not the best race. You know, it's often a bit rubbish. No one can overtake. I don't care. I just love the weekend. Does anyone agree with me? We love it.
Jewel on the crown.
Yep.
I want a big boat and park up next to the track and be rich with lots of, lots of women and champagne and stuff around and you're watching the Formula 1, what could be better than that?
Yeah. Well, you could probably sort that out for one year, I should think. Just a rowing boat, row up.
Squeeze in between a couple of
them. Yeah, exactly.
Rubber
just pretend the one next to you is yours. It'll be fine. No one will notice. Or be a Red Bull employee. I think there's lots of ways of making this work.
Not Red Bull.
Not even on the party boat or whatever it is they call it.
I'm sure I got an inflatable dinghy from a very well-known family business in Wroxham for about a tenner.
I wonder what that could be. There's people who don't live in Norfolk listening to this podcast going, oh, where's Wroxham? Anyway, carry on.
Yeah, I got one of those for about a tenner.
Oh, did
you? Yeah, I'm not sure that'd fit in between some of the super yachts.
If we strap a few together, it'd look even bigger.
Yes,
exactly.
Like super dinghy.
Yeah, I think that works. Lovely part of the world. What a track. Is there a favourite part of the track? Which has kind of got a nice...
The hairpin. What could be better? You know, it's so tight. And I think every year there's a car who always decides to try and overtake on it as well.
Yeah.
And ends up just making a fool of himself because you know you can't overtake through there and... It's all, you know, it's always just watching the track, you know, just watching it.
I always think it's almost impossible to drive on any computer games, but you can always just fly through to back.
Yeah, it's one of the hardest tracks to do on any one of the computer games. But I think some of the corner names are just so cool, you know.
None of this T9, T3, Turn 7, whatever.
Rascasse and Casino and
Maribor
and swimming pool and
Well, favourite bit, it's quite a strange bit, is the bump as you come in the casino. There's a random bump, isn't there?
Yes.
It's really weird, but it's just one of my memories of Monaco.
Is it a bit of a bump going into Saint-Devote as well, isn't it? Was that where Felipe Massa had his problems last year? I can't remember if he was there, but it was certainly a little bump. Anyway, love the race, love the track. Don't forget that practice is on Thursdays rather than Friday, because Monaco does things different. Who is it the most important weekend for?
Rosberg? He needs a win because he just needs to stop the Hamilton momentum, especially the next race, Canada.
Yes,
and Hamilton will win there without any problems because he's pretty unstoppable there. I think he just needs a win to stop Lewis.
He did win there last year.
Yes. Mm.
And I suppose we're looking at a track where if you get out in front at the start, job done.
Yeah, I think every year, at least for the last few years, the person that's been on pole has just been the person that has been able to hook it up all weekend, and it's one of those tracks where you just need a great flow around the circuit, and if you're on it, you can really make those laps look absolutely fantastic. I remember when one of Webber's pole laps, it was just mesmerising watching him driving around there at the speed that he was going, and just beautiful the way. Coming in out and coming out, coming close to all the curbs and various other bits and pieces. So,
are they going to have a trickier time keeping the cars off the barriers this year, do you think? Because they're a bit racy, aren't they?
I was thinking that exact same thing, because there's a lot more power. You touch the throttle, the rear end comes out, easy as anything. And I think back when you watch the videos of Senna going around, and he's got one hand and he's going sideways around the corners. You think, maybe not one hand, but could we see some of the drivers this weekend there and there? It'd be quite interesting to watch, especially if it rains as well. I did have a sneaky look at the weather forecast and it said there was a chance of rain.
Oh,
I'd love a wet Monaco would be fantastic.
We haven't had a wet race yet this year, have we? Don't think. We've had wet qualifyings, haven't we? Yeah. Woof. Imagine it. Most important weekend for anyone, Richard, do you want to put forward?
I'd put a shout to Red Bull. I did read something on Sky Sports. They said, I think Vettel said he thinks they can get Mercedes this weekend, and I think now he's said that, it's all up to him to actually do something about it. So I think it's going to be a big weekend for them, and it's going to be interesting to see what happens.
I think Alonso said something similar about Ferrari as well. Yeah, we'll see.
Wasn't there sort of Ferrari press release, was it? keep the fans happy.
Yeah, something like that. Off we go. Cracking. Okay, let's have a look at some predictions then, shall we? What did we do for Spain? I said that Fernando Alonso would be on the podium. I wish. Jensen top six, that didn't happen either. I also said that Ricciardo would finish ahead of Vettel, which did happen. I thought there would only be one DNF, which was a bold shout, but a wrong shout. I think there were only two in the end.
Two.
Wasn't far off. Mr. Russ said it would be a Mercedes 1-2, which he was right, because that's all we've had this season, isn't it? Mercedes 1-2s. Yeah. He also went for Alonso on the podium, and Kvyat in the top 10, which he missed out on. Bottas in the top 10, which was right. Grosjean making it into Q3, which was correct. And two McLarens exiting in Q2, which wasn't correct. Ped said that Nico would win the race, Nico Rosberg, and that Hamilton would be P2 and Vettel would be P3. So he called the podium and paid the price. I think, remember, vague wins out. Sutil to finish outside the top 10, he was correct with that. Button in the top 8 was wrong. Sutil out in Q1 was correct. So Perry getting all his Sutil predictions right. And then Richard, you said Hamilton will win the race, spot on. Alonso P2, no. Rosberg DNF, you got a kudos point for it because it was a bold shout, but it didn't happen. Ricciardo on the podium, which you were correct with, and Williams 2 times the top 10, which was wrong. Because I think, Bottas finished in the podium for Massa, whoops. Anyway, after all that, Mr. Rust still leads proceedings. Kyle, you are second. DT third, Richard you're fourth, then it's Perry, John Luton, and then me and Mav. I'm having a nightmare. It's basically the long and short of that, which leads us through to this weekend. Now, in line with our new email predictions, which you started, didn't you, Carl?
Yes,
I think
Mr.
Rust put these in, but he put these in before Spain by email because he's in America at the moment. So this, if he gets any of these right, fair play. Although then maybe not too big a shout. Qualifying, Mercedes front row, Hamilton pole, Hamilton win, a safety car, Raikkonen DNF, and Force India 2 in the top 10. Some quite good ones in that lot. Which leaves it to you. Richard, do you want to go first this time?
Yeah, I can do. I was organised. I wrote them down last night.
Oh, look at this. This is what I'm talking about, boys. Competitions.
That's not the podcast way, though. You've just got to come up with it off the... You know.
Fail to prepare, prepare to fail.
It is the old versus new philosophy here. We'll see who wins that. Go on then, Richard.
I thought top three is going to be Rosberg first, Hamilton second, and Bottas third.
Ho, ho.
And then, this is a prediction. I thought it was going to be fireworks between Red Bull. I think we're going to see them come together. I think they're going to clash at some point in the race.
Wow. Okay.
Vettel and Ricciardo.
So, contact between Vettel and Ricciardo during the race. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think there's enough respect between them to mind each other on a narrow, tight circuit.
Okay. I like that.
Does rubbing wheels count?
Well, we'll say contact, yeah.
Contact.
Yeah?
Contact.
Contact, yeah. If they bounce off each other.
And the safety car will feature twice.
Twice? Steve, he has seen yours and he has raised you.
I was spot on with that.
Good stuff. That's good work. There you go, boys. Who wants to go first?
I'll go first, all right. I haven't prepared mine. I'm going to make it up literally as I go along.
It's too busy breaking your hand, doesn't it?
Yeah. I'm going to be quite boring and go... I'm going to say Hamilton's going to get a pole and Hamilton's going to win.
Okay.
I think...
That's Stephen saying, why have you done to my predictions? To Richard.
I think Hamilton's going to get the win. He's going to just edge Rosberg because I think he's hungrier.
Okay.
Than Rosberg. I think he'll want to make up for last year as well. I am going to be a bit bold and say that either Vettel or Ricciardo is going to come second, and Rosberg is going to come third.
Okay.
So I'm not saying which one of the Red Bulls because it's hard to choose between the two of them, but I'm going to say a Red Bull second.
Okay.
And then Rosberg third. I'm going to say no points for McLaren, and another Maldonado crash.
No points for that last one. Yeah, poor old McLaren, hey, aren't they in the doldrums?
I was going to go for the Hamilton Red Bull Rosberg podium.
Okay,
order,
you can if you want.
Well, now I'll change it slightly. Actually, no, I'm not going to go there at all.
Oh,
I'm going to go start with qualifying. I've got Bianchi to get into Q2.
Cool, we're getting some bold predictions.
Yeah.
Like this.
Onto the race. in respect to the safety cars, I'm actually going to go, it's going to be a red flag.
A red flag in the race. Listen to this. He's just raised you. You've seen your two safety cars and raised you to a red flag. Yep.
And I'm going to go Hamilton win. I'm going to go Viet to get in the top eight.
Okay.
And last one. I'm going to go. A bit harsh on Max. I'm going to say Max Chilton is not going to finish an F1 race.
Is that even possible? I just assumed that they always let him finish.
Yeah, his car's bulletproof. He's allowed to like drag it across the line.
Yeah.
Just throw a rope over his shoulder and he's
grab into it.
Yeah, or Talladega Nights where he gets out of the car and just runs. Ricky Bobby just runs across the line. Let that stand. Okay.
So that's fine, yeah.
Wow.
Poor Max.
God, I feel like mine are going to be really dull now. I might keep them short and sweet, actually. I think Nico Hülkenberg will finish on the podium. I think he's going to excel himself. I don't think there'll be a rookie in the top 10. So no points for any rookies. And I also think that you will see something very delightful, like Raikkonen will finish ahead of Alonso. I might leave it there. It's just a modest shout. We'll see if I've had blank weekends before, so another one wouldn't be any different. Are we done?
I think we are.
Good stuff. But if any of you guys out there want to give us some predictions, then do so. Just give us a shout on Twitter if you like. @EDPF1 is the handle, or I'm @MichaelJBailey. These guys are all on Twitter. So that's good. Kyle, you go first.
I'm @KCumbers.
DT?
@DaveTillier.
Richard?
And I'm Bax_kid.
Love it. And that's it, I think. edp24.co.uk/F1. My Formula One column will be there once I web it. It's been in the paper for the last 2 weeks. Just might not be online yet. So I'll do that and this podcast, all the usual things there, and some Lotus and Caterham news. You never know, maybe Caterham will pick up their first point this weekend.
That should be.
Been saying that for the last 3 years.
It was quite a good race to predict that.
They've been, yeah. Anyone want to go for that?
No.
Says it all, really, doesn't it? On that note, thank you guys very much for your time. Thank you all for listening. We'll be back hopefully just a few days after the Monaco Grand Prix. Enjoy it. Best sporting weekend ever. Bye for now.